New documentary with several Wisconsin connections is hoping to shine a light on problems and solutions around overcrowding in animal shelters. Kimberly Resch is from Wisconsin. She's executive producer of the new documentary, Rescue Story, Saving Companion Animals. Kim, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
Amanda and Marcus Wrights are also with us. They're featured in the documentary for their project Happily Ever After, based in Northeast Wisconsin. Amanda is founder of the group. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Marcus is director of branding and development for Happily Ever After. Marcus, thanks for being with us.
You bet. We brought the dogs with, too. I don't know if you're picking that up or not, but they're
not
here.
Yet, but I'm looking forward to it. If there's ever a time to hear a dog in the background of an interview, this might be it. Well, Kim, let's start with a problem you lay out in the film. Overcrowding and euthanization, lots of it in our American system. Talk about the scope of the problem before we get into what you spend most of the time in your documentary looking at, the solutions.
No problem. Well, what we've heard is that there's 1.5 million animals, roughly, that are euthanized yearly due to overcrowding and underfunding in traditional shelters. Obviously, people are always looking for animals to have homes. And in the message of the film, the goal was to shed light on why it's happening to begin with. So we were trying to begin with the end in mind. And when we asked Shaman Motion Pictures, who produce our films with us, to go and find some of the companies that we and some of the organizations that we really felt were doing a great job at mitigating this problem, Happily Ever After was one of them, and along with some other ones. But Happily Ever After has done an exponentially amazing job, especially in Wisconsin, in helping to find animals homes and in helping mitigate this problem. So that's what I would say at first.
I want to listen to a clip from the video. You spent time here in Wisconsin, of course, and elsewhere in the country, including on the Gulf Coast of Texas. I want to listen to a Nueces County Animal Control volunteer named Lisa Bachholt.
They're not being euthanized because the staff wants to. The problem is there's nowhere to put the animal. And everybody says, well, can't you just send them to another place? Well, of course we can if there's another place that will take them. And what people don't realize is there is not some magic bus that takes them to some magic place. And we don't just ship them here, there, and everywhere. We don't just go out front and hail down a cab or call UPS. There has to be a process and a rescue organization, and wherever we send them, they have to have a place for them. But the sad part is they blame the shelters, and they shouldn't do that.
And Kim, this is a theme I hear from a lot of people in the documentary involved in various aspects of this. It's not just a problem at this shelter or that shelter. People are looking for bigger system-wide solutions, right?
Absolutely. I don't think that anyone likes a broken system. And so our job at Conscious Content Collective is to create education and awareness on issues that matter to humanity and to the animals. And so basically the film tells the story of what you can do. Let's discuss. We do it in chapters. We talk about what the problem is. We introduce the characters. We show, and of course, we're always about hope. Everything that we do at Conscious Content has the ending of hope. And this story has a hopeful ending, which is great. But there's still a lot of work to be done. And then Marcus and Amanda can also shed more light on that.
Yeah, I want to bring this home to Wisconsin now. Amanda, can you tell us how your organization, Happily Ever After, got started?
Back in around 2005, 2006, it became apparent to me that there was kind of a, not kind of, there was a problem within the shelter system. About one out of every two animals that were entering the shelters across the U.S. were being needlessly euthanized. So I wanted to bring an alternative message, not just to our area, but to places across Wisconsin and the U.S. to show people that if you take killing off the table, there can be other solutions to saving lives.
And Marcus, talk about some of the ways that you at Happily Ever After have done, those alternatives that you've found over the years.
Yeah, so we kind of, I guess, stepping up just a level on that, we look at our vision statement. It's that we want to create a world where the life of every companion animal matters, every single one. And if we step that down into what our mission looks like on a daily basis, it's to provide a loving home to every companion animal that enters our care with a lifetime guarantee. So if for whatever reason they find a home and that home doesn't work out, we're here for them as an ultimate safety net, and they become part of our family. Additionally, if they're unable to find a home, we're here to be that family for them as long as they need it no questions asked. So that's our vision and mission. And we get down into our work and we really focus on five pillars. We have a very strong and forward-looking adoption program, pairing that with some community-based education, looking kind of across the spectrum from youth to adults and elderly, every kind of link in between there to make sure that people understand how they can plug in and be a part of the solution. And then we also have a focus on spay-neuter, so providing some external programs with our veterinary partners to afford people the opportunity to have that service performed on pets where they need help and assistance financially, as well as making sure that every pet that comes through our doors and goes out into the public is spayed and neutered. And then the last two, I think, are probably the two that differentiate our services to some extent. We do have in addition to our adoption center location here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, we do have a sanctuary location in Marion, just about 50 miles northwest. And there we provide rehabilitation services and sanctuary or lifetime care. And what that rehabilitation component really boils down to is it's an opportunity for animals that need help and need time to either reconstruct or even establish trust initially, or maybe they're working through some things behaviorally. That's just a place that we can provide a very consistent and stable routine for animals every day and give them a place to call home for as long as they need it. So if that means that we're unable to find homes, we become that home for them for the duration of their life. So, it's not uncommon for us to see animals that we've worked on for, a couple of years be placed into homes. In fact, this past weekend, we had a couple very successful stories that stem back 3 or 4 years of time mm-hmm. that we've had.
We're talking about efforts to provide happier homes for shelter animals in the United States. Amanda and Marcus Reitz are with us with the Wisconsin organization Happily Ever After, and they are featured in a documentary produced by our other guest, Kim Resch. She's from Wisconsin. The documentary is called Rescue Story, Saving Companion Animals. You can join in, by the way, at 800-642-1234 if you have a story to share about adopting a shelter animal or maybe fostering one or working with them in whatever capacity, 800-642-1234. Another organization highlighted in the film is called Four Paws to Freedom. It helps veterans get matched up and train their own service companion animals. I want to give a listen to this. This is Terry Sandoff, a founder of the group, and Paul Dewey, a Vietnam War vet, and Sethi Jervin, a retired police officer. Here's a listen.
It's that bond that we create, and that bond happens because they're training them, they're working with them, they're with them all the time. They create that bond, and they become a unit, and that unit just works. When the person's down, the dog's there. When the dog's down, the person's there. It's pretty magical.
Sometimes in life, we have to step out where we're not familiar, and taking in an animal, sometimes we go, oh, I can't deal with it, but sometimes that's the piece of your life you really should take a risk on.
I don't know that it will always be this way. They say that you can recover from PTSD. I would hope that that would happen. But until then, I have faith. I walk with faith every day.
And Faith is the name of her rescue dog. Kim, you highlight this and also a literacy group that uses dogs, shelter dogs. Can you talk about how it's not just ultimately about helping the pets themselves? The circle completes and it helps a lot of people along the way.
It does. Well, there's a lot of disabilities that really aren't visible. And in a previous film, Light in the Darkness, we really talk about grief, trauma, and PTSD. And we have a section inside of this film where we talk about PTSD being such a widespread problem. And now with everything that's happened since March, people are really starting to feel isolated, and there's a plethora of other things that we can talk about, which Marcus and Amanda can talk about in a little while as to how animals really help with that isolation aspect. But we understand that the post-traumatic stress disorder, it's a broader problem. And I mean, if we're going to talk about stats, on average, 22 vets die by suicide every day. And those are just the numbers that are reported. They're not really the numbers. So the Four Paws to Freedom program, where veterans come and they train their own dog and they become a service animal, I think the dogs are being saved, but I think they're saving their lives. So there's this beautiful, you were talking about a full circle moment. I really think that it's a very equal energy relationship. And The other thing I'd really like them to talk about, Marcus and Amanda, is how the disposition of the animals that go into service like this and where they come from. So I'll just leave it with that because they have so much more to offer.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Amanda, the disposition of the pets, as Kim was saying?
Yeah. So, you know, it's almost as though they realize that they've been saved, and they are so eternally grateful to their adopters and the people that are in their lives who, you know, have given them this second chance, or maybe it's a third or a fourth chance. And, you know, they are so willing to share of themselves and of their heart. And they do that in the different ways that are shown in this documentary, whether it's, you know, serving a veteran who needs that companionship and that company and that support, or allowing children to participate in a literacy program and helping them gain confidence to read. Or it might be an autistic child in the home that we've adopted an animal into that allows this animal allows that child to truly feel comfort and safety. And that child starts to blossom into who they're meant to be too. You know, so across the board, pets are saving people at the same time that the people are saving them.
We are talking with Amanda and Marcus Wrights of the Northeast Wisconsin Area Rescue Organization Happily Ever After. That's featured in a film, Rescue Story, Saving Companion Animals. Kimberly Resch, also with us, executive producer of that documentary. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you foster? Have you adopted a rescue animal? Do you work with a shelter in the area? Tell us your story at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll hear from a couple of you coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about rescue animals with Kimberly Resch, executive producer of the new documentary Rescue Story, Saving Companion Animals, and Amanda and Marcus Wrights from the Animal Sanctuary and Adoption Organization in northeastern Wisconsin. It's called Happily Ever After. It's featured in the documentary. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Nick is with us in Green Bay. Nick, hi.
Hi. Hi, I adopted my first dog when I lived on KSR Air Force Base, like the old Air Force Base up in the UP, and that was a black lab. The mother was so vicious you couldn't see her, so I was a little bit hesitant, but that was the best dog I've ever had. I had him for 17 years, and I cried like a baby when I put him down, but after that, I won't buy another dog from a breeder. I've never bought a dog from a breeder, but my two dogs I got now came from the South, and I guess they got a lot of problems with strays, but I'll never buy like a dog from a breeder. It's always going to be rescued because they're awesome dogs. And this is the best show you've ever had on here, so.
Nick, thank you so much for sharing your story. And Marcus, it seems like people who do get pets from shelters end up being like Nick, pretty darn happy about it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And, you know, earlier, just one quick additive to what we were talking about earlier. We're seeing right now a huge spike in adoptions this year. Right now, we're actually tracking up about 40%. So I think that companionship and what people are craving right now, it all kind of comes together and is something very special.
And Amanda, Nick had mentioned pets being available, needing to find homes in the South and moving elsewhere. And that's part of what you do and other groups in this organization saying, okay, if this one area has more pets available than people to adopt them, finding places, looking further afield than the local county.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, networking and working together in order to get the animals where they need to be to get adopted. And so if, you know, if our numbers are good at saving lives up here in Wisconsin, if we can help those in Texas or Tennessee or Florida or California, wherever it is, to save more lives together, that's what, you know, that's what this is all about. This is what we should be doing, to work together and you know, as a country in order to change these numbers and make things better for everybody.
Nick, thanks for calling in. Cheryl joins us now in Neshota. Cheryl, hi.
Hi. My husband and I were driving through Tennessee in the mountains, and a little beagle puppy ran across the road out in the mountains, and I insisted my husband stop, which he did, and we went back, and that little puppy was laying on his back peeing. He was so happy to get some help, and we picked him up. We brought him back to Wisconsin, and my husband's friend adopted him. and he lived for almost 25 years. We had been in Buford, Georgia, so we named him Buford. We took him to a vet there, and they said, there's so many stray dogs running in the streets down there. The vet assistant had like 15 dogs at her house. They don't actually even pay for shelters. They're all funded by donations. It's Cheryl, sad, but it's happy. He got a break.
I'm glad you were able to help Buford out, Cheryl. Thanks so much for sharing that story with us. And in making this documentary, Kim, Cheryl's story, not unique. I mean, I think one of the people you talked to, literally one of the dogs she talked about, she just found stray in her own neighborhood.
Yes. Well, when we were filming in Texas, we didn't realize that 220,000 animals get euthanized because they're found strayed. And so we knew that that was too many animals. And fortunately, the woman that was just on the phone, bless her. That's amazing. That's a beautiful story. And we want more of those stories. But in the film, we try to go to the root problem. Why is this happening? And how can we reallocate some of the responsibility so that way it doesn't happen to begin with?
Now, our caller there kind of fostered that dog that she had found, that puppy, because someone else ended up adopting. Can you, Marcus, talk a little bit about that, the role of foster caregivers for dogs and cats?
Yeah, absolutely. If you have room in your home and room in your heart to help a pet, even on a short-term or temporary basis, it's one of the most impactful things you can do to help a shelter organization. It relieves space from a resource perspective. It adds knowledge into the community in terms of how to care for pets and what their needs are. And fostering fosters additional conversation that brings others into the fold to help solve this problem. And it's definitely an important part of the overall rescue equation.
And can I add that, like, for instance, we have a transport coming up really shortly here. And in order for us to say yes to some of those on the other end, you know, we have to have fosters that say yes up here first. So when, you know, we get a list, we'll actually make a post out to our fosters and say, here's who we could potentially bring up into our care. But before we do that, we need your help. So those people can make a huge difference in allowing us to increase our capacity, our life-saving capacity, to get them up here. And then they in turn go and tell their friends and their neighbors about these animals, and it helps them get placed. Just like the nice woman on the call that took this dog up, she fostered it essentially and found another home. And that's, you know, that helps the network grow even more than just a shelter or rescue.
Let's go to another caller now. Arlene is with us in New Berlin. Arlene, hi.
Good morning or good afternoon. The reason I'm calling is all my life, and actually my married life, I've had dogs. 4 children, 3 dogs, and a husband. I want to know, why is it that I'm penalized because I'm older?
Is it harder for older people, Amanda, do you think, to be able to adopt pets? Is there some kind of bias against them if they're adopting?
I can't speak to other organizations, but I can definitely speak to Happily Ever After and say that, you know, we have adopters from 18 years old to, I believe the most recent one was 93 or 97. And so we definitely, you know, we can see that. Doesn't matter what age group you're in as an adopter, if you have love in your heart and the ability to take care of an animal, you know, that's all that counts.
Thanks a lot for that call. Good luck, Arlene. Just a couple minutes left. I want to make sure we get to a couple things. Marcus, if someone, it sounds like you really need foster caregivers. If there's somebody out there listening who says, yeah, that's me, how can they get in touch? How can they become a foster caregiver?
Sure. So we've got a couple different avenues by which people can follow along our journey and what's going on and how to help. If they want to go out to our website is HEA, as in happily ever after, nokill.org. So it's HEA, nokill.org. There is a foster page right on there. And that can get them in and get the process started. Additionally, following along with our social media channels, both Facebook and Instagram, at HEA, nokill. Will be places people can find us on those channels. And those are areas that certainly help us build community. And at the end of the day, that's what this is all about, is building and expanding a community so we can help to solve this problem that has great momentum behind it.
And Kim, briefly getting back to the point of hope, you wrap up the documentary saying there are lots of ways, big and small, that people can help out. Can you touch on a couple of those we might not have gotten to in just our last 30 seconds or so?
Yeah, I think so. There's quite a few. You can donate to a shelter, which we really encourage people to do because they're professionals and they can take care of the animals. You can get the animals through adoption or where you can foster them so they can find their forever home. Let's see here. What else would I say? Participate. Well, you can participate in events. And I would say donating is the biggest thing. We have an event that's coming up in October 4th, and they'll have the most beautiful little envelopes where you can either buy donate online, or you can come to an event and you can donate in person to help them on their mission.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to our guest today, Kimberly Resch, executive producer of the new documentary Rescue Story, Saving Companion Animals. Also with us, Amanda Reitz and Marcus Reitz. They are both with the Animal Sanctuary and Adoption Organization in northeastern Wisconsin called Happily Ever After. Green Bay premiere of the film, by the way, this weekend, sold out, but you can find more info about it and the organizations we talked about through a link at our website at WPR.org/Central Time.